Well, good morning. Welcome back this morning. Welcome back to those of you on Facebook to Texas House of Prayer in the heart of Johnson County, as Steve likes to say when he's up here. This is my first time preaching back-to-back Sundays, so it was a challenge, but I want to encourage all of you guys, if I can come up here and preach back-to-back after only doing this a little over a year, you guys can step in and do whatever God's telling you he wants you to do. Amen? So don't hold back. This ain't me. This is him. I can tell you that right now. Let's open in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this word, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to serve and to be obedient, Lord. And I just pray that you speak through me this morning boldly, faithfully, truthfully, Lord. And I just pray that this message lands where it needs to land, Lord. I just pray that we have open ears and open minds and open hearts, Lord, to hear the truth that's coming forth. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, Steve, I appreciate what you shared. I didn't collaborate with the worship team, but that last song was perfect, kind of in relating to today's topic. And today's topic was put on me 2 weeks ago when Jason and Katie were with Abby back and forth in the hospital. It just laid on me heavy, and so I followed it, and here we are. So the title this morning is Bearers and Sharers. And the core text is Galatians 6:2. I'm going to read it from the King James, the New Living Translation, and also the Passion Translation. New King James says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." The New Living Translation says, "Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ." And the Passion Translation says, "Love empowers us to fulfill the law of the Anointed One as we carry each other's troubles." There's a lot packed in to this verse. It's one verse, but when you really start studying and thinking about it, there's a lot there. There's a lot of responsibility on the behalf of the bearer, the one with the burden. There's a lot of responsibility on behalf of the sharer, the one who comes alongside and helps. And so we're going to walk through that this morning. Galatians teaches that believers are justified by Jesus alone. They are part of a diverse family and are equipped by the Spirit to love God and love others. One way we love is by bearing one another's burdens. In verse 1 of chapter 6, we see the greeting of this part of the letter. And it says, "Dear brothers and sisters," this is important to note because he is writing to those members of the church in Galatia. So this is a message for fellowship. This is a message for the body that's already assembled there. His letter would sound different as writing to non-believers, but it was specifically to those who have answered the call and received Christ. And this is instruction regarding what we're to do with burdens. Let's define just a few words. We don't have as many to define as last week. The first word is to bear. It comes from Strong's G941 and is most commonly used as to take up with the hands, to take up in order to carry or to bear what is burdensome, to sustain, uphold, or support. The word one another, that phrase is Strong's G240, and that's vital to today's lesson. It is used as reciprocally or mutually. You do something reciprocally. I do unto Eric as Eric does unto me, and so forth, and we should do this unto each other in the body. The word burden is from Strong's G922 and is most commonly used as heaviness, weight, burden, or trouble. So next thing, let's think about the way this verse is phrased. It's phrased very similar to an if-then statement, right? So let's read it that way. If you bear one another's burdens, then you will fulfill the law of Christ. So there's an obedience that has to happen there. There's an action that has to happen there. So if you make that a negative statement, if you do not fulfill or bear each other's burdens, then you will not fulfill the law of Christ. If we fail to come along beside each other and bear one another's burdens, we do not fulfill the law of Christ. We are disobeying Jesus' life example and his instructions for us on how to live. Scripture tells of the Good Samaritan who came alongside the Jewish man who had been attacked and left for dead on the side of the road. Others passed by, the man carrying this newfound burden having been beaten, but not the Samaritan. He cared for him on the side of the road, and as the story goes, he took him to an inn and told the innkeeper, "Here's some money to pay for what's already been incurred. I'll be back in town soon, so if you need more money to keep taking care of him, to get him right, I will pay for that." That is a perfect example of bearing that burden. That Samaritan, the Jewish man cannot get up on his own. He's in a ditch, half dead. Without the love of that Samaritan walking by, stopping and taking that time, that man is probably dead. James tells us not to be hearers of the word only, but to be doers. Christ has commanded us to love our neighbor as ourselves, so bearing their burdens is a part of what James is talking about. So let's talk about what is a burden. Daily chores are not burdens in and of themselves. They can become burdens, but we'll get to that. Laundry's not a burden. It's not fun. Cleaning the house is not a burden. Again, not fun. It can become a burden, but it's typically by itself not a burden. Getting groceries, which in my opinion is probably the most inefficient chore there is on the face of the planet. I mean, you got to think about this. You go to the store with a buggy. You take the groceries, put them in a cart. You go up to the front. You take the groceries out of the cart, put them on the belt. You take the groceries, put them in a bag, put them back in the cart, and then you put them in the back of the car, and then finally you get home with them. That's why I don't shop for groceries. That's why Stephanie does that. And she agrees, and that's why she does curbside. Cleaning your house, cooking meals, mowing the yard are all examples of chores that by themselves are not burdens, but they can be, giving an intervening cause, giving something else in there. So we mentioned before, a burden is some heaviness, a weight, or a trouble. I would go further as to say a burden is something that could be short-term or long-term, but arises as something out of the ordinary aspects of life that negatively impacts our hearts and our minds and our ability to stand strong by ourselves. I mean, the most recent example in our body we have is Abby being in the hospital. That disrupted everything in the Tate household. They're trying to decide whose turn is it at the hospital tonight? Whose turn is it to stay during the day? Thankfully, they had Kinsey to stay home and watch the kids and keep things moving there. Thankfully, Susan went over, cleaned a little bit. Everybody checked in on the kids and offered. But that's a burden that makes everything else that is normal difficult. And as you heard Jason this morning praise for not only the care that everyone gave in praying, but the investment that we gave in coming alongside them and helping them through that. That's a burden. Other examples of burdens are loss of a loved one, illness, whether for yourself or a close family member or friend, job loss, financial hardships, marital tension or strife, parenting, especially during times of discipline at any age. It can be a burden. It's hard. You know it's right. You know you have to discipline. You know you have to teach. You have to rebuke. You have to correct. But that does not mean it's fun. And as your children get older, it gets even harder because they have more of their own opinions. Guilt over past sins is a burden. Struggling with temptation or sin is a burden. Struggling with unforgiveness or grudges from past offenses is a burden. These burdens can make the everyday chores a burden. So suddenly, again, we talked about it. If you're sick, you can't do the things you would normally do, so you need help. If you lost your job, you can't buy the things you would normally buy for your family to provide, so you need help, and so on and so forth. You can have more than one burden at a time. These are just a few examples to kind of think about the burdens, and it's really encouraging, or the attempt to encourage us to pay attention, especially within our body, of what's going on, and we'll get more into that. So there's a lot of danger with these burdens when they happen. If they're left unattended, they can cause a lot of problems. So we've discussed before, the enemy is prowling around like a lion looking for someone to devour. So think about all the National Geographic shows you've watched. Any predatory animal, do they prey on the strongest, biggest thing out there? I mean, do you really see a lion preying on the elephant that's strong and healthy by himself? Typically what? There's like five lions and a sick elephant. But the point is, the enemy is opportunistic. So he can create some of these burdens, and he can also take advantage of these burdens and drag us down. Burdens, by definition, are heavy and hard to carry. Because they are hard to carry, we can tire out more easily, mentally, physically, and spiritually, leaving ourselves more easily able to succumb to the pressures of the enemy, to succumb to these attacks. Think of war movies. There's one I'm thinking of. I can't remember. It's in Vietnam. It's got Mel Gibson. We Were Soldiers, I believe it is. And toward the end, they've been battling all this time. And the enemy finally says, okay, we've been doing this for about a week, 10 days. We know they're burnt out. We know they're tired. We know they've had a huge loss of life. Then they attack. Then comes the big attack. So the enemy's desire is to use that opportunity to further weaken you, to bring more attacks, in hopes to finish off their opponent. These things are dangerous, guys. It will likely signal the enemy to come and kick you while you're down and manipulate the situation to his advantage. The enemy is always looking for anything to keep you from looking toward where God has called you to look. Think about Jason's message. Where do you look? Well, when the going gets tough, it can be hard to look to the Lord by yourself. The enemy desires you to walk alone because he knows the power in a properly functioning body of believers. If he can separate you, you are weaker. That's just how it is. He can isolate you. He can help you focus on the problem rather than the solution. Or said a different way, he can affect where you look for your help. All of a sudden, it's harder to look to the Lord for the help, even though you know that's the truth, because he's attacking you. And then you look elsewhere. And then there is no help if you look elsewhere. He can make you think you should be embarrassed or ashamed to share your burden with anyone. He can make you think there's no hope, so why try to do anything to get better? This is just how it is. Like Steve just mentioned, you know, things kind of bottomed out, and I guess that's just the way it's going to be. He desires you to believe that. Why? Because you stop moving. You stop believing. You stop acting. You just stop. There's no growth in stop. He can make you think that no one really cares, so why should I share what's going on? He can make you think no one would really understand anyway. He can make you think that by sharing, you will become a burden to those trying to help you. So then he... It's so interesting how this happens. He at the point you begin to think, you know what, I'm going to share with Steve what's going on. Immediately, he shifts his tactic and says, no, you don't want to burden Steve with that. What are you doing? He's sneaky, man, I'm just telling you. He's sneaky.
That's right.
If you're dealing with a sin or temptation, he can make you feel like you don't deserve the love that others are called and willing to give you. So there's another one. Somebody actually says, hey, Eric, do you need some help? No, I don't need anything. Why not? How can we spur one another on in times that are tough if we don't share our burdens? How can we assure ourselves of getting godly help to overcome the burden? How can we protect ourselves from being targeted by the enemy if we don't share the burden? How can we overcome temptation or sin if we just sweep the problem under the rug rather than admitting that we need help? How can we get the correction needed if we just keep on hiding and isolating ourselves? Without being properly addressed, these burdens can become strongholds in our lives that lead to oppression. Yeah, I've said it before, when we're talking about the enemy's attacks, it's not always the huge things that we have to worry about. It's the old phrase, death by a thousand paper cuts. That's kind of how the enemy operates. He just continues paper cut, paper cut, paper cut, paper cut, paper cut. Then before you know it, you're bleeding down your arm and you don't even know how it happened. So we're going to talk about the roles in bearing and sharing. Obviously, there's two main parties. There's the bearer. That's the one with the burden. That's the one with the heaviness. That's the one with the hardship. And that person has responsibilities just as the sharer will. So as bearers, we are not meant to pass our burden on to another, but we are meant to allow others to share with us so that the gifts of the body are activated. So just because I come alongside Holden and say, hey, do you need some help? And he says yes, Holden shouldn't say, here, you can take that for me. I don't need that anymore. It's still Holden's to bear, but it's also my responsibility to share in that. Thinking back to the verse breakdown, we're meant to bear and share to fulfill the law of Christ. It takes both parties, the bearer and the sharer, to fulfill this. This is an obvious call for burden bearers to be open with and share their burdens inside the body. We're not meant to hide. Do not suffer alone. It doesn't matter how small you think it is or how small the enemy makes you think your situation is. Be bold and share. A few steps as you're having a burden to bear. Number one, recognize and admit you have a burden. Overcome that pride. Overcome that desire to appear strong and independent and courageous and resilient. If you're in a time of trouble, raise your hand and say, hey, man, I'm struggling. What's the old saying? The first step to recovery is admitting that you have a problem. The first step in getting someone to share your burden is admitting that there is one. How can the body be activated to help you if you don't share and express that you're in trouble? It can't. Be obedient in sharing the burden. This is about being open and vulnerable. Whether it's you're struggling with a temptation, or you have sinned, or it's a sickness, illness, financial burden, whatever it may be, any of those examples we gave. This is life. Life is tough, and we're called to come together to get each other through it. So it's not embarrassing. I mean, it's going to, once you get over that hump and you take that step and you say, you know what, man, I'm just going to share this. I need help. There's going to be that initial, like, boom, like, you've overcome that first obstacle that the enemy put in front of you is to keep it to yourself. So share, be vulnerable, be open. We all come from different pasts, different backgrounds. We've come to Christ through different avenues, different ways, but we're all meant to be together and work together. That's why we're in this body committed. Support and the encouragement are one of the key things the body was built for. The third thing, seek the Lord for wisdom. Yes, allow your brothers and sisters to help you, but do not forsake the wisdom in the Word of God. Go to Him, approach Him, and say, I just got kicked for the third time this week. I need some help. He'll answer you, but you got to be ready for that answer because it might be something that seems uncomfortable, but it's meant for your betterment. Seek truth. It's not about what makes you feel good. It's about what's true. Steve just said what's true is true in any circumstance. So if it's true in dealing with illness, it's true in dealing with hardship, with finances, it's true in dealing with family issues, it's true in any situation, any burden that comes up. So we must seek truth on how to deal with these things. And sometimes, like I've said before, if you've got your hand right here, you can't see it as well. But if I turn my hand to Steve, he can see it just fine because he's further away from the problem. Sometimes we need someone a step or two away from being in that battle to help us understand what to do and where to go. You can be too close to your problems. Trust me, I've been there. The second thing, again, be ready to receive help. I know that if I ask Jason or Steve a question, I'm going to get an answer. And it's going to be whatever the truth is that applies to that situation. So I know that if I'm going to ask Steve and Jason for anything, I should be prepared to hear truth. So if we ask each other for anything, it should be the same way. We are called to share truth. Everything we have is built on truth, and without it, we can't sustain ourselves or each other. Another thing as a bearer, and this is specifically for a sin or a temptation or something that's already happened or is close to happening, is confess. We all know that true repentance means recognizing our sin for what it is. It's wrong. While praying that no believer fall prey to sin again, if it does happen, we must be ready to confess, to receive forgiveness, and start over. 1 John 1, 8 and 9 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's freedom in confession. But the enemy's going to tell you there's not. He's going to tell you you should hold it in and not tell anybody. Because he's trying to prevent you from receiving the very gift that frees us from everything else. Pray. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank you. Excuse me. Thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Or, said another way, as you live in truth. As you live in fellowship under the body of Christ, under His lordship, His headship, there's strength, there's protection, there's power. And I've said it a little bit, I'm going to say this again, this is the last point for the bearer. Don't transfer it to somebody else. Your problem is your problem. Your situation is your situation. You should share it. Raise your hand when you need help. Don't be afraid to do that, but understand it is still yours to bear. And by bearing through that burden, bearing through the grit with determination, focusing on truth, you will grow, you will mature, and you'll be better equipped not to have that burden happen again, especially if it's a temptation or a sin. There is growth in the struggle. You can't build muscle without breaking down your muscles and them healing over. It's the same situation. Confession allows you to have healing over those old wounds and become stronger in the Lord. The other party in this thing is sharers. Again, these are the people that have the ability, are called upon, whether directly by the bearer or just have an inkling that something's off. These are some roles and responsibilities for us. But before we go there, the next verse, Galatians 6:3, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. I'm going to read it one more time. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. This is telling you that your role is to share others' burdens. Straightforward, plain, simple, it's right there. That's the other half of fulfilling the law of Christ, right? The bearer has to admit there is something. The sharer has to come alongside and lift up. The two parties working together fulfill the law of Christ. Simple ways to do this. As a sharer, pay attention. As we discussed, it can be hard for people to share their burdens. As a fellowship, we should be close enough and attentive enough to notice if something seems off with someone. If we do notice something being off, we should bring attention to it. And I don't mean come up here, get on the mic, and say, Eric's acting funny today, y'all. I don't know what's up with him. Pray for him. No, that's not what we're talking about. Eric's laughing. But it's true. I mean, it's just walking up and saying, hey, everything okay? You good? Jason's done that with me. There wasn't anything wrong. I was just tired. And sometimes that's the answer you'll get, and that's okay too. But the fact, you have to think about this. If there is something there that the burden bearer has not decided they're ready or willing to share just yet, just the simple act of asking if there is something might open a door for them to say, you know what, I probably do need to talk to you about something. This is a direct assault on the enemy's attempt to isolate that person. It shows you care enough to ask, and if someone is hesitant to share, it begins pushing back on some of the dangers or the burdens we talked about earlier. It pushes back on the isolation. It pushes back on the lie that nobody cares. It pushes back on the lie that you shouldn't share because it's going to become a burden to somebody you share it with. The next thing, if you ask, be ready to listen. Hey, Eric, how you doing? Doesn't really work. You going to say anything to me if I say, hey, Eric, how you doing, then walk off and go get coffee? What is that going to do? It's going to further the lie that's already there, circling in Eric's head from the enemy, that nobody cares. Like, it's always kind of there. It's always potential to be there. So if I act in that way, hey, how's it going, and go get coffee, it's going to confirm Eric's lie. Nobody cares. If you ask how someone is doing after noticing something is off, then you better be ready to listen. Listen to their tone, their volume, their pace of speech. Do they avoid eye contact, or do they seem ready to convince you they are okay so you'll leave them alone? That happens too. Are they slouched a little? Do they wring their hands? Do they seem distracted? Has their overall countenance just fallen to where you know something's not right, and they've told you that everything's fine, but you know they're not being honest about it. Be obedient in sharing the burden. So at this point, we're hoping that by reaching out and asking if there is a burden, the burden bearer has shared it with you and said, hey, I need some help with this. Well, the next step is be obedient in sharing the burden. So Eric tells me what's going on. Good luck with that. And I go get my coffee. Did I do anything? It sounds funny, but I mean, it's so easy to get caught up in our own lives and our own routines. Like, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes energy to truly come alongside someone and share that burden. This verse is a cause and effect style verse. If someone is in need of having a burden shared, we must meet them there and share that burden. Only then have we fulfilled the law of Christ. In doing this, we need to be sure that we don't take the burden from them. It's theirs to bear. It's ours to assist. So I shouldn't go to Eric and say, let me take that for you, and then I've taken something that I shouldn't be taking, and it's also preventing him from growing and maturing in how to deal with that. Next thing, speak truth. Truth is light. When you shine truth onto a problem, all of a sudden the lie, you can't see the lies anymore because they were in the darkness. You've got all this darkness and these lies kind of circling around the problem. Somebody comes along, shines light on it. Well, the lies disperse because they're like cockroaches. They can't stand the light. And then things start to make sense. You're like, okay, there is hope. This is especially important if you were dealing with a situation where the other person has or is close to falling into sin. We are not meant to judge the person in their weakness. We are meant to love on them and recognize they need our help. They need the Lord's help to right their path. They need to be reconciled to God. James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. You come alongside them and you just stand with them. You speak truth to them. You pray for them. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearer. So again, hey, Eric, how's it going? I ignore him and go get coffee. Did I impart grace to the hearer of me saying, hey, Eric's how it going? I did not. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. Next thing we do, so you've gone alongside someone, and again, we're assuming that the process is gone where I've noticed something. I'm going to use Eric because you're right there and it's easy. I've talked to Eric. He says, hey, I have a problem. I've begun to share in that burden. Am I done? Next thing you have to do is you have to follow up. Let people know you care. Ask them how they are doing, if they need anything. Sometimes knowing that others are thinking about you is encouragement in and of itself. Remembering that someone shared a burden with you and then checking in on them is a huge encouragement. It matters enough to you not only to reach out the first time, but to follow up the second time and make sure, how are things now? Follow-up may require you to be ready to share the weight once again, but maybe in a different way, meaning the weight of the burden. Next thing, make yourself available. Offer your time, your talents, your energy, or other blessings you have in an effort to assist those with the heavy load. A new baby. I know how we do it in this body. We have meal trains. Everybody signs up for the first 2 weeks, and all of a sudden, the new mom doesn't have to cook for a while. Why? Because cooking has now become a bit of a burden when you have a new baby. Child in the hospital, we talked about that. Prayer, offering, do you need anything? Do you need food? I know people took food to Jason and Katie. We stopped by, checked on the kids one day as a spot check. Not that we were worried about them, but just so that they know that somebody's there if they needed them. If someone admits to struggling with temptation or sin, offer to be their accountability partner. If someone has expressed to you, you know what, I haven't had this problem in a really, really long time, but, you know, unfortunately pornography is everywhere, and I've seen it on my phone, and I've succumbed to looking at it from time to time. Accountability partner. Every week, do you mind if I look at your history, see what you're looking at? Do you mind if we have a conversation, follow up on that? Agree to follow up and check and protect them from straying again. That's how you care. Is it invasive? Yes. Is it required and necessary? Yes. It's not always sunshine and rainbows. There's struggles that we have to get through. Share your blessings. If someone is experiencing a financial hardship, can you help them a little from your own financial blessings to get them through that situation? Y'all remember the winter last year when we had 9 days in a row of under freezing? And the Millers on their side of town, they had the rolling blackouts, and then they just had a blackout that rolled for like 2 days. And the temp inside their house was like 40 degrees. Like, oh, we'll tough it out. I'm like, nah. So we opened our house to not only the Millers, his parents were in town, so we had a whole bunch of people at our house that day. But you know what? We had the heat on. We were good to go. We had couches, and we had food, and we had coffee, and that's all we needed. That's a temporary thing. That was a burden that was out of the ordinary, and it was from just a weird source of weather. But we assisted in that way. Next thing you do is you pray. Eric and I were talking this morning. I'm not picking on you, Eric, but you're just right there. You're like the first one right there. But Eric and I were talking this morning. Like, there's no greater thing you can do for someone else than to pray for them. Inside burdens, outside burdens, it doesn't matter. Pray over them. Put hands on them then and there until the burden lifts. Then again, don't assume others' burdens. It's not yours to take on. Helping someone with the burden means coming alongside them. Imagine Eric carrying a heavy load. You got a 10-foot piece of wood, weighs 500 pounds. He scoots over a little bit. I come under him for a little bit. All of a sudden, we're each carrying about 250. That's sharing the load. That's how you do it. You come on for an instance, for a season, for a time, and you assist, but you don't take it on. So we talked about last Sunday, we don't wish to leave people where they are. Our desire should be to help them forward. Just because we are saved doesn't mean that we won't need to be lifted up from time to time. Who is the enemy going to target the most? Somebody that's already within the kingdom of darkness doing the things that he desires them to do? Or is he going to target one of the saints who is trying to bring him down? We are targets. The Galatians passage is geared toward believers helping other believers. So we are to speak and act in a way that spurs people on in truth and in love. We are to help them with any burden that arises. Why should we do this? Number one, it demonstrates your love. It demonstrates where your heart is. It demonstrates where your focus is. 1 John 3:16 through 18 says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but actions and in truth." It's the same passage in James, very similar. If you see somebody who's hungry and in need of food and you don't do anything for them, you wish them well, did you do anything? Secondly, this morning, why do we do this? It demonstrates your faith. James 2:15-17. "Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and be well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead." Faith, our faith, cannot be inactive. It cannot be stationary. It cannot be stagnant. It cannot be, it doesn't sit in place. It moves. Bearing one another's burdens is where the rubber meets the road. It's where you don't just talk about your faith and your love for God's people. It's where you show it. You act it. You do it. It's exactly what Jesus did for us. God sent Jesus to bear the burden. Y'all hear that? God sent Jesus to bear the burden of our sin, of death and judgment for all humanity. Jesus sacrificed everything for us. Jesus gave his life for us. Why? To demonstrate the Father's love and to give us a chance to get out from underneath the sin burden we are all born with once and for all. So in sharing one another's burdens, we're not only living like Jesus did, we're fulfilling the will of the Father, because that was his will with Jesus. Y'all see that? Y'all see how important that is? Like, starts working on these messages, man. I told you I started writing them down. Sharing each other's burdens is living like Jesus. Sharing each other's burdens is fulfilling the will of God, because that was his will for us. That's why we're here today. So we close this morning. I'm going to pull up the lyrics to that last song that we just sang. Sorry, worship team, I didn't sing any of them. I was too busy reading them going, I'm going to have to put that in there because that's way too good and way too... And I didn't ask them to do that song. I don't think I'd heard that song or read that song before, but it just played in so perfectly. And this is what we as burden sharers do. It says, "I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name because it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. I speak the name of all authority, declaring blessings, every promise. He is faithful to keep. I speak the name no grave could ever hold. He is greater. He is stronger. He's the God of possible. I pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. Come believe it. Come receive it. Oh, the power of His Spirit, now forever yours. Come believe it. Come receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus, all things are possible. I pray for your healing, that circumstances will change. I pray that the fear inside will flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. I pray for revival, for restoration of faith. I pray that dead will come alive in Jesus' name. That's what it is to share a burden. Not to steal from Jason's thunder in his series on defeating the works of the enemy, but this is one of the ways you defeat the works of the enemy is by standing united together, helping each other through anything that comes along. There's a reason that you're called to be a part of a fellowship, to be a part of a body. It's because, just a few of them, you're called, you're equipped, you're expected to work. But there's power, there's strength here. Wherever one or two gather in His name, He is there. So if you've got somebody having a burden and I'm there to share it, guess what? God is there waiting to be asked for help. Guys, be stronger than the enemy. Bear and share. Let's close in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You that You recognized from the beginning, Lord, the burden of sin, the burden of judgment, the burden of death that results from our sinful nature, Lord. We thank You for sending Your Son, Lord. We thank You for Him bearing our burden on the cross once and for all, Lord. I just pray that every member of Your body here at Texas House of Prayer, Lord, every member of Your body worldwide, Lord, truly engage and understand how important it is that we bear and share each other's burdens, Lord. There's power, there's growth, there's strength in unity, Lord. And I just pray that Your church live and breathe and act out that unity, Lord. And through that unity, Lord, the works of the devil be defeated. We speak victory in Your name, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If y'all